We are once again thankful for the presence of all, that we have the dedication and devotion unto God to come together once again and to worship Him and to study a portion of His Word. We're thankful for the encouragement that we can gain from one another as we do come together at times such as this. Tonight, I would like to begin a series of lessons on the home or the family. This is something that we will be going over for the next few Sunday nights. We will be addressing different aspects of the home. I don't have any idea how long it might be. There are several things we want to talk about. We want to talk about the husband, the home, the wife in the home, children that are there, problems that are confronting the home, teaching that should be done also in the family relationship. And we want to address those things and try to find out exactly what it is that God wants us to do. And so it will take several Sunday nights for us to do this, and I hope that you bear with me in this. I don't think that I need to go into a great deal of argument in trying to convince you that this kind of a study is something that is necessary for each and every one of us. For those who have homes, that husband and wife, those who are children in the home, this is something that is needed, because all we have to do is look at the world about us and we see how the family unit is disintegrating. Now, I'll say this at the very beginning and probably say it several times as we go through this. The things that we have to say concerning the home that come from the Word of God, these are not calculated to cause pain to come to anybody. But we are well aware of the fact that the disintegration of the home has touched so many of us, even those who are children of God. And there may be things that the Word of God, as we teach it, brings out that will cause us some pain, cause us some memories of things perhaps we have done or others have done. And it will then be something that needs to be brought out. And of course, as I said, it's not calculated in any way to cause pain to come to anyone. But if we are to teach the whole counsel of God, some things need to be said concerning the home. If we were to stay away from all of those subjects that people were offended in or people had pain because of, then that certainly would cut down our preaching. But we must declare the whole counsel of God. And so, again, these things are not intended to hurt anyone. There are, as we just stated, many attacks that are being made upon the home and upon the family. I suppose the number one thing that we could think about is that of divorce, that of the separation of husband and wife. Whether it be for scriptural reasons, we find that sin is involved. Whether it be for unscriptural reasons, there is also sin involved in that. We find that this is perhaps, again, the number one cause for problems that exist in the home. There are attacks being made by the feminist and by the humanist who want to redefine what the family is. They want to give it different goals, and they want to have different people and different responsibilities of rearing children. And so it is under attack by them also. I believe it's also under attack by materialism. Used to be, materialism was considered those things that where people were working so much that they wanted to get ahead, they wanted so many physical and material things in this life that perhaps the husband and wife worked and the family was neglected. But we also find that the home is being attacked in the sense of, now we find that, generally speaking, in some cases, that the husband and wife both have to work in order to make ends meet. And this puts a great strain upon the home, because there are still responsibilities that must be met regardless of those situations. All of these things are being used by Satan to bring about the destruction of one of God's institutions. God has brought into existence two great institutions. We'll be talking here in just a few moments in Genesis chapter 2. He's brought into existence two great institutions, and I use that word in this sense, and some people find that maybe that the word institution is not the best word to use in regard to the church and the home, but it is an institution in this sense that it is an organization that is governed by established laws. God has brought into existence both the church and the home, and he has given it laws whereby it is governed. And we must follow those laws that God has given. He brought into existence the church. As Christ died, and on the day of Pentecost, we can read about it in Acts 2, it was foretold of in the Old Testament. And he brought it into existence. And he set up, he established laws that govern his church. There is also the home. As it had its beginning in the very, start in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, as we're going to look at in just a few moments. And he has established laws that will govern that. And we cannot depart from those laws without reaping the consequences of departing from God's word. Of course, we know that God has ordained that there be higher powers, and in some sense of the word, he has ordained this type of institution. But we see the two great ones that he has, the ones that he has set up and given laws to govern, are the church and the home. One of the things that we also need to realize in talking about the family and talking about the home is that God has an interest in every home. And we're not just talking about those where someone might classify it as being a Christian home, where the father and the mother are children of God and they're trying to bring up their children, their own children, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to learn the principles of righteousness. God is not only interested in that home, he is interested in every home. And all the laws that he has established for the home apply to all the homes. It is something that he has established, and therefore he has a vital interest in them all. As he is concerned with every soul, he is concerned with every home. For the average person, I believe that the greatest impact and influence that we have on others and that we have on society comes through the family unit, where we, as we are growing up, learn our values, learn those things that are important unto us, and as we go out into the world, we use those values, and we influence and we impact others. And so the home has this kind of impact upon society. Now, we all influence the society about us in some way or another, those who are outside of the family. But the average person's main influence, I believe, is on his or her home, on the family that they grow up with. And we are influenced, or we influence the home in both a positive and in a negative way. Also, I think we need to realize as we get into a study such as this, that within each and every one of us, and I believe this is the way God created us, there are two desires that we have, among other things, but two in relationship to the family. And that is, we have a desire to be needed. All of us want to be needed. We don't want to feel like that we are useless, that we are good for nothing and good to no one. We want to be needed. And we also want to be a part of something. This is something that God has created us with. This is why we see in our society that the gangs within the inner cities have so much appeal to some youth. It's because their family life has disintegrated. They don't feel that they are a part of something anymore. And so they will join these gangs so that they can feel needed and that they can feel a part of something. Well, I believe as God has designed the home, that the family provides for both of these needs. The desire to be wanted by others and to be a part of something. The home meets both of these needs. As we said, God established the home. He started it in the very beginning. And there are several things that we want to note concerning the family, and we'll use those words interchangeably, the family or the home. One of those things is that it was created by God. We have established this as we started there in the very beginning. And as we can read in Genesis chapter 2, note what is stated concerning what God did in verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." God looked at man that he had created, and he recognized that something was lacking. Something else was needed. Man was alone, and it was not good for man to be alone. Now, as we note everything that God had created, that he pronounced it as being good, yet as he looked at man being alone, he says, this is not good. And so he decided to do something to remedy that situation. And in verses 21 and 22, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought him to her, to the man. We find here that God saw that something was wrong. And he went about to remedy the situation. And in remedying that situation, he created woman. He created the family. The relationship between husband and wife. The establishment of the home there in the very beginning. The home did have its beginning when Adam and Eve were joined together as husband and wife. When Eve was made for Adam. And so we find that the home is something that is as old as Adam and Eve. It's as old as man and woman. God saw a need. God fulfilled that need. And in fulfilling that need, he brought into existence the family relationship, the husband and wife. And so we find that it is of divine origin, that it had its beginning with God. And as an institution that had its beginning, had its origin with God, he is the one that gives rules that the home is governed by. He establishes those. He has the right to do that because he brought it into existence. God established a relationship, and in this relationship, he expected man and woman to be husband and wife, to be that family unit that he wanted them to be. He did not give unto man and woman something that they could not do. God has never done that, and he never will do that for each and every one of us. We have certain abilities, and God does not expect us to go beyond those abilities. He has not given a task unto us that we cannot meet, whether it is individually or whether it is collectively. There are things that we must do. And in establishment of this relationship, he has not done something or given unto us a task that we cannot perform. Some people have this concept of marriage. In our day and age, there is the thought that, well, we just simply can't live together. It's impossible. It's almost an impossibility for one man and one woman to live together for one lifetime. God shouldn't expect that of us. It's impossible for us. God has not given unto us an impossible task. He created man and woman in the very beginning. He established this relationship. And he expects us to live by the rules that he has set up. The home also, created by God, I believe was created to promote happiness. A lot of people have the opposite concept of this sometimes, that one of the most miserable relationships they have is found in the home. But God did not do this. He did not create the home to make man and woman miserable. He created the home and brought it into existence so that man and woman would be happy, that they would be fulfilled, that they would be satisfied. Notice there again in chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God, in this creation and in this relationship that he established, wanted man and woman to be happy. He did not then want them to be miserable. There was a need that he saw in man, something that was lacking. Man was not as happy as he could be being alone. And there was then the fulfillment of this need. And in so doing, it was done to bring about happiness, to bring about a fulfillment. And in the creation of woman, I believe God so created man and woman to fulfill both needs of each other. that it was not simply one way and then the other or the other, but it was for both, the happiness of both individuals. In homes now, though, we find that unhappiness is something that is too often found because of divorce, because of putting away one or the other for some cause or another. There is abuse that is found in the home between husband and wife, and even wife and husband, and parents and children. There is so much unhappiness there because it seems in some instances parents are fighting all the time about some matter or the other. And why is it? Why is this happening? I believe the simple reason is that husband and or wife is simply not fulfilling the roles that God has given unto them. Because if they did that, if they created that environment in the home that God intended, there would be happiness found there. It is created then to promote happiness within man. Not to bring about his misery, not to bring about something that he dreads or she dreads, but something to bring about satisfaction and happiness. As we said also, we need to realize that the home is the oldest institution. It's older than government. It's older than the church. It is the first one that was established by God. And in being the oldest one, and in being the one that's been around the longest, we would think that after so many years and generations, we would finally get it right. That this would be the best thing that man is at in making a happy home. But we find that that's not the case. And the reason for that is man leaves the laws of God. Man leaves those precepts that God has established. We don't find that man gets better in the home. Many times we find that it's the other way around. Could it be, as we look to society and the home in our society, could it be that it is man who is not following God's laws whereby to govern the home that we find so much unhappiness? That's the answer. That's the reason there is not the happiness found in this institution that was created by God. So we see here that it is of divine origin, that God created the home, that he created it for happiness, and that in being the oldest institution, we should have had it right by this time. But we haven't. And it's simply because we're not following the plan of God. We want to take a few moments and talk about some of the functions of the home. Some of the functions of the family and the family unit as God has created it. One of the things that we would think of in the very beginning is that of procreation. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, we find that it says there, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is something that God has given unto man and woman, unto the family. Unto Adam and Eve, he said there, to be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth those of your own kind. In Psalms 127, in verses 3 through 5, we find the psalmist making this statement concerning children. He says there, beginning in verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. We find here that God looks at children as being a blessing from him. We ought to be happy in this. And this is the way children are to be brought into the world. I believe, as we can see there in the very beginning, it was God's intention for children to be brought up in the home, to be brought up by both parents as he has been given, or as both parents have been given responsibilities in this way by God. And I believe we can see, and we don't need the so-called experts of our day who have finally it seemed, gotten around to the way of thinking of God, that children have needs that are fulfilled by both parents. And it takes both parents in order to raise children as God intended. Only the home can, I believe, give honorable birth. There is still a stigma in our society placed on birth that comes out of wedlock. Now, regardless of what Murphy Brown has to say, and all of the eloquent arguments that can be made from human wisdom, and there are some good arguments that are made based on human wisdom for this kind of thinking, for this kind of home or family. But it is not based upon the Word of God. And there still is a stigma placed on birth outside of wedlock. And even if our society finally decides to accept it and say, yes, it's okay, it still does not change God's design for the home. We cannot change God's law. We do not have the power. We do not have the authority. Illegitimacy brings sin, and with sin, that brings shame. Sin on the part of the ones that are involved in it. Shame on those who are connected with it. We can read in 2 Samuel chapter 11 of that relationship that was between Daniel and David and Bathsheba. And we see that there was sin involved. There was shame involved in that. Man had been given the home. And one of the functions of the home is for procreation of mankind. This is what God wants. This is the way God has established it. He has given responsibilities unto both parents in raising children. It takes both parents to bring them into the world, and it takes both parents to raise them in the way God wants them to be raised. I believe also that one of the functions of the home is preparation or preparing children for adult life and the role that they're going to have to play in society. With parenthood comes responsibility. And both parents have a God-given responsibility. Raising our children is not the obligation of society. It's not the obligation of the government. It's not the obligation of schools or other homes. It is not the job of society to prepare our children for life. I believe that this is something that the humanist and the feminist especially would say that is the role of government. It is the way that they want it because they have a desire for all children to be raised by one common standard. And the only way that common standard can come across is through the government. Through something that has been established by the government. And they would love to see that kind of law implemented in our society. But that's not the government's responsibility. To prepare my children or your children for adult life. It's not the school's role to teach children about life. It's not the church's responsibility either to raise children. They have an obligation of teaching, the church does, but it is not the church's duty to raise children. One of the reasons for the breakdown of the home, I believe, is that people want to let other individuals raise their children for them. They are so busy and so involved with other things of a selfish nature in their own life that they want someone else to do that. And as a result, we see the breakdown of the home. One thing that we need to realize is that if we are going to bring children into this world, then we had better be able and better be ready to take on the responsibility that God has given unto us. Preparation, then, for children in life. Along the same lines, education and training of the child. I believe, again, that this is one of the responsibilities of the home, of the family. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, we find Paul making this comment, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And I am convinced that this is not just simply talking about in the sense of spiritual training, but all training that the child is going to encounter, those spiritual principles need to be instilled within them. How they're going to meet society, what they're going to apply, what principle they're going to follow when this or that happens in their life. All of the training in this way. It's a parental responsibility. Now, I believe that as parents, in our society especially, it is true in a lot of societies in which we live today and others live, that we have an opportunity to allow public education to help us in training our children. The majority of the things that we find in public education would, most of us would consider acceptable in preparation for the life that they're trying to live. It brings unto them certain things that perhaps we as parents would not be able to teach them. It would provide and does provide information for the child that perhaps the parent would overlook. One thing that I know, that if I had to raise my children and I had to teach them math, they would be in, they'd be in a world hurt because I'm not very good at it. And so I rely upon the school system, the educational system, to help me in that, and I believe I have every right to do that. And it is a tool by which we as parents can use to prepare our children for life. But it does not replace parental duty and responsibility. It does not stand in our stead. Some things in public education, I believe we would totally say we disagree with. There's so many educators that are atheists, that are agnostics. They teach their certain brand. Even some Christian educators teach their own certain brand of religion and things that are not acceptable to us. We find some of the things that they teach would be opposed to the Bible. And so we must take an active part in this. We have that responsibility. We may use things, but that cannot take the place of our responsibility. The church cannot replace the home also in its duties. With some children, the 4 hours that they get, you know, assembling with others, is about the only religious training that they get. And that is far, far too little. Way too little religious or spiritual or biblical training. When children go to school, they go to school 5 days a week and 6 to 8 hours a day in order to learn certain things. And they do that for 12 years in their life at least. And if they want to learn any more, they go beyond that. And if you were to tell an educator that all he had was 4 hours a week to train a child in some way or something in the ways of life, they would say that's not enough. 4 hours a week is not enough. We cannot give the church our responsibility as the home and as the family to bring up our children and to teach them the things that God would have them to do. It is a parental responsibility. It is then, as we said, a duty of the home or a function for spiritual development. Spiritual development is something that is an obligation of the family. One of the things that God states about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19 is something that we as parents should try to imitate in our life. In Genesis 18 and verse 19, God says concerning Abraham, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." He knew Abraham. And Abraham is a pattern for us to follow in this sense, that he was going to raise his children right. He was going to teach them to follow the Lord. Under the old law, we find instructions from God to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Here is an obligation that God placed upon the children of Israel. Here is a pattern that we need to follow in training our children in spiritual things, in their religious and biblical development. Notice also what the inspired writer Paul had to say concerning Timothy and the way that he was raised. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he made this comment concerning Timothy. When I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Paul here was paying a compliment to Timothy's mother and grandmother of the faith that was in them and of the faith then that they passed on unto him. He was persuaded that this was the faith that was found also in Timothy. Notice also the comment that is made concerning Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 2. It says there that he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. Here was a man who was a Gentile, one outside of that covenant relationship under the law of Moses, and yet we find him teaching his children, those of his household, that they feared God. There is a responsibility within the home of spiritual development, but some homes, I'm afraid, fail in this area. Parents are so anxious for preparing their children to meet the things that are found in the secular world that they oftentimes leave spiritual development off. They prepare them for the world. They give them a fine education, one of the best ones that money can buy, spend thousands upon thousands of dollars in preparing them in this way. And yet, when it comes to their spiritual development, they let it go. They give little thought unto it. And when we do that, we are failing our responsibilities, we are failing God, and we are failing our children. We also see that one of the functions of the home is that of the economy of the home. In that, we are talking about the responsibilities that have been given to the husband, to the wife, those responsibilities. We're going to speak in some of the sermons on this in a little more in depth. But one of the things that we note concerning the husband's responsibility, as God in Genesis chapter 3 spoke unto Adam and what he was to do in verses 17 through 19, it was his responsibility to provide for his family. In the wife's responsibility, we also find in 1 Timothy 5 and 14 and Titus 2 and verses 4 and 5, that it is responsibility, the primary responsibility of the wife, to take care of the home. This is her domain. This is where her responsibilities lie. Her primary duty is to be found there. Now, as we're going to discuss in some of the lessons that are coming along, that it does not mean that the husband cannot help around the house, that this is his primary responsibility. It does not mean that the wife cannot work outside of the home. But her primary responsibility is in the home, and she cannot forsake that without paying the consequences before God. For we see in Proverbs 21 of the virtuous woman, here is one whose primary interest, primary concern was the family, but she did things outside of the home. The economy of the home then, again, as we're going to talk about in some of the other lessons. A function of the home also, I believe, is recreational activities for the children and for the husband and wife. Parents have a responsibility here. So many of them want to pass this responsibility off to others, to the church, to one group or another group. But I believe a parent has a responsibility toward their children to keep the home, to keep the family free from corrupt influences, from those influences that would cause worldliness to come into their life and to come into the life of the family. To make sure that children enjoy themselves, but not at the risk of moral impurity. And perhaps in our day and age, this is one of the greatest responsibilities and the most difficult areas that we as parents and children have. To make sure that we enjoy ourselves, God has given us this universe. We are to enjoy it, but not at the point of bringing into our life those impurities and those things that are found in the world. There's so many things in this life, in our society, which we might consider borderline that we can do, but we don't want to influence others to go beyond that. Many homes are not aware of the far-reaching effects of some of the recreation that they can engage in. The parents' desire for their children to be popular for them and others to like them, this is only a natural thing, but not at the point or to the point of where we're going to cause them and us to be influenced by the world. There is also the protection and discipline that is found in the home. The husband, in this way, again, we'll talk about this in another lesson, the husband is the head of the house. He is the one, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, Colossians 3 and verse 19, who has been given this responsibility. He cannot pass that off. He cannot give it to someone else. He cannot let the wife usurp that authority or that position. The wife is to be in subjection to her husband. Ephesians 5 and 22, Colossians 3 and verse 18. There is discipline also that is to be in the home, an obligation, a responsibility that is given unto the father and unto the mother. Colossians 3 and 21, and Proverbs 13 and chapter 13 and verse 24. These are things that I believe are the function of the home, and we have passed over them rather quickly, but in some of the other lessons that we are going to have, we will be talking about them more in depth. Perhaps as we go along in the series of lessons, there's some things that you want to ask. If there are, please be sure to put that question to me, and I'll do the best I can to remember it and try to address that in one of the lessons. In all of the things that God has done concerning the home, I believe that there is a warning that we need to heed. God has established two great institutions, the church and the home. We are aware as children of God of God's design for the church, that there is a pattern that we have to follow, that there is a government for the church. Laws have been established, and we are well aware of the severe consequences of tampering with God's arrangements. We cannot do that. We cannot decide on our own that we are going to depart from the pattern of the church of what has been given. Let the same warning be sounded for the home. God has established the home. He has set up laws that are going to govern the home. And let us beware of the severe consequences of going against what God has said, of what He has established. Let everyone be aware who that individual who abuses God's design for the home. The husband is the head. The wife is in subjection. The children are to be taught. There is responsibility for all. And no one is to shirk that responsibility. We cannot go against what God has said in these things. But I'm afraid that there are so many who do not feel the weight of responsibility that God has placed on us as husband, as wife, as children in the homes. Let us take a warning. Let us not tamper with what God has set up, with the laws that He has established. God intended for man and woman to be happy in the home. It was not His desire to make them miserable, to make the husband happy and the wife miserable, or the husband unhappy and the wife happy. He made man, He made woman, He made the home. When He finished creation, He pronounced that everything that He had done was good. After He created woman, after He established the family, He said, all things are good. That includes the home. The greatest happiness for those who are in the family, those who are in the home, can be found in following God's arrangement. Man cannot improve on it. Woman cannot improve on it. The greatest happiness is in following what God has said. And the home that fails, fails as a result of abandoning God's plan. When we follow it, we'll be happy. After all, as we said, He created us. He knows what's best for us. He does not want our unhappiness in anything. He wants us in this life that we live in the flesh to be pleasing unto Him and to have a wonderful existence. I'm convinced of that. Sin has brought misery into the life of us all. God has not done that. He wants us to be happy. And He has arranged the home so that man and woman and children will be complete. We'll continue our study next week, next Sunday evening, the Lord willing. At time we'll be talking about the responsibility of the man in the home. After that, we'll talk about the wives, and as we said, we're going to discuss the children, some problems that are facing the home, training that's found in the home, and other things. Again, if you have any other questions that you would like for me to address in this series, please let me know. Perhaps it may go on two or three more weeks if you have enough questions. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, this lesson was not designed to tell you what you need to do. It was designed to let you know what God's establishment of the home and what His design is. But if you're outside of the fold of safety, God wants you to come to Him, and He's made everything. He's prepared everything for you. Everything has been made ready for you to be in the family of God, to enjoy those relationships and the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. What you must do is simply meet those conditions. Humble yourself before God and do as He says. If you're here and subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?